It is time once again for the radio voice, the RV of the Evangel Home of Fresno. You've tuned in to this weekend's edition of Heartline. Your host on Heartline is Jim Tuck, the guy holding the microphone right here.
I can't believe it's already time to open the mic again. Come back with another edition of Heartline here on from Evangel Home of Fresno. Jerry Brenneman is here. We are in her office. We have a guest who's in the Crossroads program. And as we record this, we're kind of front-loading because of vacation schedules and all of that. We're just recently through the Amazing Race project, and we're going to talk with Amanda about that a little bit. But Jerry, do a little bit of an introduction, and then let's talk with Amanda and hear what God is doing in her life through the ministry of Evangel Home.
Thank you, Jim. I do want to talk about Amanda and Amazing Race. I'll start with Amazing Race because people have probably heard us talk about that now for several weeks, but it really often is one of the most, maybe not life-changing weeks, but I think eye-opening, life-possibilitying weeks for our women. And it is a week of unexpected activities for them. They never have any idea where we're going. And then half the time we blindfold them when we're driving there. And then I go and make U-turns and left turns and right turns just to throw them off track. Because they get really good at knowing that they're on a freeway or they're on a big street or they're turning left, they're turning right. They can almost guess where they're going by that. So I did everything I could to make them car sick and get them confused. But it was an exhausting week, but it is a really good, intense, it's kind of like summer camp smashed into a couple of days. And Amanda was just such a trooper in this one. I want her to talk about that. She's in the Crossroads program. And how long have you been there, Amanda?
I've been there since January 20th. That's the date I got in.
Okay. So about 5-6 months. And I remember her in the crisis home making that decision and just sort of watching her. And I remember Amanda getting dressed up several times for things that she thought were important, like her interview for Crossroads. And I think that really shouts to me when they do that. Because some gals, we don't tell them to get dressed up, but they do know that that interview is like one of the most important things in their life to that point. So you really don't want to come in flip-flops and shorts. But if they do, they do, and we don't say go change your clothes, nor do we deduct points. Right. But I think the way people like Amanda conduct themselves, that just automatically gives you that first impression that, okay, this is a winner. This is someone who's fighting for what she wants.
Yes, and that's what she wants. Mm-hmm. It's she values the possibility of that program.
Yeah, and she is a fighter, and I have found that out because she's been through some hellish times while she's been here. And Amanda, I have watched her fight. There were times when I thought, oh, we're going to lose her over this one, and we didn't. And we would go to her and we'd tell her hard things, and I'd think, okay, we're going to lose her over this one. And we wouldn't. She would thank us for telling her things, thank us for showing her things. And I think that's awesome. That speaks well for this 20-year-old.
Yeah. Well, Amanda, that is impressive. I'm going to we talked a little bit about your situation before we opened the mic, and there are some sensitive issues here. And I don't want to open a can of worms in any way. I'm just going to ask you to express in your own words what you feel comfortable sharing about your situation, why you're here, and what's in the past and now again the present that makes your life difficult.
Well, my situation with my mother, she's with my ex-boyfriend, and he was abusive towards me. And before that, I was partying, drinking, using drugs, and I was sexually raped by a friend of mine when I was 12. And that kind of spiraled some things, along with my dad's death when I was 7. And also, my sister is autistic. And we're only a little bit apart. We're only like 10 months apart. And I was close to her. And when I started using drugs and everything, things got out of control. I lost her. My mom moved her to a group home when she was 16. I was 17. Probably a couple of months after that, I decided I wanted to try and get clean on my own. I was successful for a while. And then when my mom again kicked me out when I was 18 for her boyfriend at that time as well, I relapsed. My aunt and I started drinking together. And then I got a job, and I was still drinking when I was working. And when my mom accepted me back into her life, I went back, and I was still working, drinking, and then I started going out and partying with friends that were from work. And then I met this guy. I had slowed down on drinking, and I had stopped, basically. And then when this guy came around and started abusing me, my self-esteem went to an all-time low. I didn't care what I looked like. I was just gone. And then when I found out what he did, I went to a friend's house that I used to party with, and I used again, and I drank so much. And a friend of mine actually told me about this place, and I will be forever grateful for that person. In November, I came here, and it was just so changing for me. I remember on Thursday night, when the guys, we called them the guys, when they came, when they came, I remember one of the guys, Steve, when he was talking, and just something just washed over me. And I remember that from when I was like six, when I was going to church. Just a complete wash. And I got saved.
Mm. Wow. So you were here in the crisis shelter at a friend's recommendation. And do you remember the day you walked in? Do you remember walking in the front door? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you walked in and you looked around and you thought,
this is a shelter? It's like a home.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. And we're starting to believe it. Mm-hmm. So you're 20 years old, and at some point you realized maybe the Crossroads program would be something that would be helpful for you.
When I heard Ruby talking about it the first time, I was like, huh, this is something that might help. And then I started looking through some of the pamphlets, reading like some of the quarterly stuff, and I was just thinking this could help. And then talking to some of the Garden Girls and hearing some of their stories and how it was like mine, it just was eye-opening. I just went ahead and I went through the application and started applying and everything.
Jerry, do you remember the interview time?
I don't think I was in your interview, but I remember that whole process, and I knew with Amanda it was going to have to be really, 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 it was going to be hard, and I think it was probably harder for all of us than we realized, because some of the situations she shared on the air then triggered other situations that she didn't even know had happened to her. I remember that Amanda was just unraveling, not in a bad way, but all the emotional stuff just kind of kept coming out. And as she trusted us more, I think she was able to share more that came out. So, yeah, Amanda is, again, Jim, for someone who's 20, I don't think many of us can imagine what she has been through. You know, we might look at the drugs and the drinking and think, oh, of course. And yet, that's all she has known. And when I think about, again, the situations that she's been through, and, you know, it's the peer pressure, too. If my friends are going to, if my only friends are the people who drink and do drugs, then I'm going to be with them. We all have that connection. We so much want friends. I remember in junior high moving here from Sacramento. I hated it. I hated it. Went to a brand new school. All the kids knew each other. And the only kids who would accept me that year were the outsiders. The girls who all ended up pregnant. The guys who all ended up, who knows where they ended up. I because of my upbringing, was able to make the right choices. But on the outside, I could at least be part of a group. And that's all that mattered to me at that point. Whether it was the right group or the wrong group, didn't matter. At least I had a group. And my concession to the group was I wore a white lipstick and hung out behind the baseball backstop where they smoked. I would hang out with them and I would smell like smoke, but I didn't smoke.
Amanda, you've been here since you went into the program, you say, January 20th. Looking back at where you were and where you are, what are the significant changes going on in your life? How would you express those changes?
Well, I definitely am gaining my self-esteem back. My personality is definitely coming out more. And I can tell that people think, oh, she's a lot more dorky than we thought she originally was. And that's just something that's coming out. Me being more caring and not as shut down as I used to be. Because when I was living back at home, I was just so numb. I didn't like feeling feelings. And now I'm actually getting used to feeling those.
Jerry, in the time, you make some observations about changes you've seen. What's going on in the process? You mentioned some battles in the past.
And she's not a quitter. I have watched that. And I want to tie this into what I was just talking about, Amanda, with we all want to be part of a group. And when we did Amazing Race this year, Jim, we had 11 women. And when we divide, the staff makes the teams. And what we usually do is try to pair women so that we have maybe a slower one and a faster one physically. We have someone from the garden and someone from Crossroads. So we're trying to mix them up. And Amanda ended up being on a team with three people because we didn't want to have two people teams and one person. When you got on the team with three people, can you share what you... I didn't realize you felt that way till the other day. That was awesome.
Well, when I got on the team of three, first I was like, oh, cool, I'm with the other Amanda. Because, coincidentally, me and her were in jail together.
Oh, whoa. Okay. We didn't know that
might have affected us. But when me and her were on the same team, I was like, okay, cool. And then Donna, and I'm, like, getting close to Donna, too. So I'm like, okay, cool. And it was just a really cool thing. But then, like, all of a sudden, like, those back thoughts coming in, like, oh, well, you're just going to be downplayed, and you're just not going to, your ideas aren't going to be thought up as much. You're just going to be the person that's not thought of. And I wasn't like that this time. I didn't let those get to me as bad. But that's just one of my giants, me being a third wheel.
That was the theme of our thing this year, was facing your giants. Mm-hmm. And that's what she said. One of her giants was being the third wheel. And then she was on the team with three, and she had to face that giant real fast.
We're out of time. Thank you, Amanda. You're tough. I'm pretty impressed. God bless you in your process here. My listening friend, thanks for joining us. I got to turn this over to Ken because we're out of time. We look forward to our next adventure here on Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno. Find them anywhere in the world with an internet connection at evangelhome.org. And their phone number is in the 559 area code 264-4714. God bless you. Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, being a great blessing to women and children in crisis since 1955.